From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Since the holy month of Ramadan began a week ago, insurgent attacks against Iraqis and U.S.-led forces in Iraq have risen by 25%. That's according to a Defense Department official who spoke with NPR about the current state of the insurgency. The official asked that his name not be used. NPR's Eric Westervelt joins us now. And Eric, the U.S. military has been trying to learn more about the insurgents in Iraq, who they are, who's funding them, how well they're equipped. What does this source tell you about what they've learned?
Well, a defense official we spoke with concedes that the intelligence on the insurgency, Melissa, continues to be a major challenge. Insurgent cells change names and tactics all the time. They move around a lot, and the coordination among various factions in the Sunni insurgencies, he said, and with foreign fighters, is often ad hoc and temporary and hard to pin down. The official we spoke with concedes there are, in his words, big language and cultural barriers to getting better intelligence on the insurgents, and he called it a big learning process. That said, they have gotten a better picture on how cells are organized and funded. In particular, they think that private individuals and charities in Syria and Saudi Arabia are contributing significantly to the insurgency in Iraq.
It appears that some of the recent attacks in Iraq have had pinpoint accuracy in terms of who they were targeting, which would suggest that the insurgents might have a very well-developed intelligence-gathering system on the ground. Is that the case?
That's true, and it's a growing concern. The defense official says all the Iraqi security forces, forces the U.S. hopes to rely on more and more in coming months to secure their own country, are, in his words, heavily infiltrated, and he says it's very, very difficult to stop. They can only do so much vetting of the Iraqi security forces before they have to continue to try to train them and get them ready. Insurgents have a highly developed intel-gathering system. This source noted that that's the way Saddam's intelligence system kind of worked. They tried to infiltrate, whether it was clerics groups or in this case new security services, they tried to infiltrate them and then either co-opt them or destroy them from within. An example of this infiltration comes from today, Melissa, in Mosul. Mortars landed right near the helicopter site where interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi was leaving from. That's not a coincidence.
The source that you spoke with, are they suggesting that there seems to be a coordination nationwide in Iraq among the insurgent groups, or is it more that there are regional leaders who are taking control?
They believe there are increasingly more regional leaders, and there's some ad hoc coordination across the country, but it's not that well organized across the national spectrum. Officials believe that in the ensuing insurgency are former Ba'athists. There's a lot of talk about Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian-born militant holed up in Fallujah, but they believe in Fallujah there are about 2,000 insurgents, and out of those 2,000, only about 100 are foreign fighters. The rest, they believe, are former regime elements, as they call them. For example, you remember this deck of cards that we used to hear about, mm-hmm. We don't hear about anymore. They believe Izzat Ibrahim al-Duri, who was a senior former Ba'ath Party official, despite some ill health, is playing a, quote, significant role, this source says, in coordinating attacks, especially north of Baghdad.
Back in December, Eric, when Saddam Hussein was captured, the military said that they had gained new insights into how the insurgency was funded. Now, you mentioned just now Syria and Saudi Arabia as outside sources. Has their understanding of that funding changed since December?
Well, that's right. Saddam had some documents that helped them understand the funding streams, but in the words of this official, that was perishable intelligence. And the official we spoke with says they now believe, as I said, significant funds are coming from Syria and Saudi Arabia, from wealthy individuals, from charitable organizations and civic groups. Asked if this was done with the Syrian and Saudi government complicity, the official said it's more like benign neglect combined with corrupt border guards and the notoriously porous borders all along Saudi Arabia and Syria.
NPR's Eric Westervelt. Eric, thanks very much.
You're welcome.